Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we ask for your guidance and direction as we seek Jesus and his righteousness. You've heard it said, history repeats, and it does. Look at human history, or look at biblical patterns and biblical stories. You can see that the same theme repeats. It's the same story, often enough, and in modern times, also the same, but with different technology and different modern situations. Now, how about that theme of not enough food and the prices skyrocket? Oh, well, look at 2 Kings 6:25. There was a city under siege and there was no food. And at that time, a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver. Now, if I've calculated it correctly, 80 pieces of silver is like $600 for a donkey's head. Now that's a famine. Look at 1 Kings 21. Jezebel wants Naboth's vineyard, so she has him killed. Now in today's society and in today's politics, that also happens from time to time. And how about the king's advisors? That's like today also. There's so many examples of that. The president has advisors. The president has his cabinet and various factions of advisors. Now, in biblical times, there were advisors with different views. And today, there are different advisors and different groups with different views. Today, there are the heads of money concerns, and that includes the Plunge Protection Team that has existed since 1986, and their job is to keep the stock market stable using government money. Well, in biblical times, there were also people who wanted stability and they wanted to get rich in the areas of money. Haman, who was the advisor to the king, he wanted to get rich, and he wanted to use the power of the kingdom and the glory of the kingdom to do it. And today there are people who want to get rich using the power of government. Look at what has been reported in the news. The head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, just resigned after she was questioned about owning stock in companies or businesses which she regulated, such as tobacco companies and the vaccine manufacturer Merck Pharmaceutical Company. In ancient days or in modern days, the human temptations and human folly are just about the same. The basic human desires have always been just about the same. And that is why, if we study history, we can see that patterns repeat, and we can see that trouble is coming and that we can step aside. Now that's what Proverbs 23:3 and Proverbs 27:12 talk about. They tell us to do that. You see, secular history or biblical history, they both have lessons that we can learn. Can you see the signs and the indicators of what may lie ahead? People can see things. And one of the things that we can see all over society is that we are spending too much and that we are saving too little. That's pretty uniform all over. Well, join the crowd. Oh, no, actually, don't join the crowd. As the saying goes, Matthew 7:13, it talks about entering God's kingdom, and you enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and there are many who by that enter. So look for the narrow gate, which in this case means to be financially secure, and do not overspend. I remember 20 years ago, there were people who prophesied that in the United States, we would have, at some future point, a debtor's prison. And when I heard that, I just plain and simple did not believe it. But I can tell you that more and more people today cannot pay their bills or their court fines, and for the want of $500, more or less, for the fine that they cannot pay, they end up going to jail for 30 or 60 or 90 days. Effective immediately. That's what happens. You just go right on the spot, go to jail because you don't have the money to pay the fine. So yeah, it's not exactly the same as the debtor's prison of 200 or 500 years ago in England, but if you look at the main idea of it, it really is the same concept as a debtor's prison. Well, we have lessons of history. Right in front of us we have them. And we have lessons in the Bible. And again, right in front of us we have them. So try to look at the lessons and apply them to our lives today. Because if we don't learn, well, we will get the consequences. Yeah, that Proverbs 22:3, that talks about if we walk on by the warning signs, we will get trouble or be punished. So we want to be aware. We are living in days and decades which have been very easy to live in one way or another. Well, we just don't have the difficulties and uncertainties of the past. Now, you'll have to look at, everybody has their own perspective, and we should examine that and consider what the last years or decades have been like compared to the last hundreds of years or even thousands of years. Get a look at it and just give it a moment of consideration. Because today, we have a common experience, which is having debt. Doesn't it seem like everyone you know has debt? Well, it didn't used to be that way. In the past, only the rich had some debt, or the foolish rich had some debt. And often enough, those people could not pay their debts, and they lost their land, and they lost their riches, which they once had, and then the bankers got them. People say things are different today, but are they? I think we have all known people who have lost property because of debt. They were unable to pay that loan. And it might have been a loan on property, or it might have been a loan on a car or something like that. But look at the people today who need money. Yeah, look at the city and the state governments who need to raise money. And so these governments are selling property and public buildings just to raise cash immediately. Oh, and then they lease that property back from that business they just sold it to for like a 20-year lease. But the property itself is sold. It seems that's going on in a similar way with the federal government, but it is different. Well, we see that people who live today, just like the government, city, state, and federal, they are selling certain land and certain property. And that just seems to be what we have to do to make ends meet. Well, it's difficult, and it makes our assets disappear. It makes our possessions disappear. It's not a good thing. And that is why there's such a huge concern about our nation's $20 trillion national debt. $20 trillion. Remember million, billion, trillion? A million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. And a trillion seconds is 32,000 years. Yeah, and we have a $20 trillion national debt. Even at our very low interest rate at, what is it, a 1.7% or something, the United States government paid $266 billion in interest on our national debt last year. Now, $266 billion is a lot of money for interest, and the interest rate was only 1.7%, or quite close to that. So, if we spend all our money on interest, that means we don't have money to spend on our other needs, like the infrastructure programs, highways and bridges and such, or entitlement programs, you know, that helps the people, or the programs for the military. All these things make us have a crash crunch. And we have to be concerned with what happens that the day when our government runs out of money. It could be a really big thing. People will get hungry, and hungry people and idle people can take violence into the streets. And it makes problems for the authorities and for the citizens of the land. And that's the way it was in early Rome, at the time of Jesus, right around then. And it can happen today also. 2,000 years ago, the citizens of Rome were given bread and circuses. Why? To keep them entertained, so they wouldn't become violent and destructive. Today, the citizens of the United States are given welfare and food stamps and television. Yes, so in a way that's bread and circuses too. It's not an exact parallel, but it's sort of close. Now in those days, Rome, 2,000 years ago, there were parallels to the United States today. There was an expansion of the money supply, and the Roman government secretly melted down their old silver coins, and they added tin to the silver coins. And by doing this, they could have more coins in circulation. Well, today, in the United States, they just have to print the money, and you get more money in circulation just by printing it. And the more of something you have, the less is each one's value. And you look back on the United States, and between 2008 and 2018, the money supply increased by 4 times. And that includes the supply of actual currency plus electronic money or account credits. So, you can see the money supply is increasing, and that leads to inflation. Have you been noticing the inflation we've been having? Yeah, you can see it. Again, that's because the more of something you have, the less is each one's value. And now we have the Federal Reserve going on since 1913. The Federal Reserve was created. That is a private corporation, and they get payment for the money that they use and also create. As I recall, it was 3% per year that they get on their investment. So by this agreement, isn't it just obvious that our money supply has to grow to pay that 3% per year to the owners of the Federal Reserve? Now remember, The Federal Reserve is a private corporation, and private means private. They don't have to make public very much information, and they don't. Their meetings are closed, and only the basic meeting minutes gets out. But by this structure, it's obvious that there has to be inflation in our country. It has to happen. And if you will look back, you'll remember that Thomas Jefferson said that if the American people ever allow a private central bank to control the issuance of the currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations will grow up around them and deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent that their fathers conquered and settled. Oh, what a prediction, huh? Isn't that just the way it goes? This is just a known quantity. We know it will happen. So what are we doing about it? Well, today we are having inflation in such a big way that the value of the U.S. dollar has decreased and decreased over the last 100 years. Now, if you look at money for the 100 years or 200 years before 1913, when the Federal Reserve was created, our money was stable. It was based on silver and gold only. That was in the Constitution. But the next 100 years after the Federal Reserve was created, from 1913 to 2014, the U.S. dollar has lost between 95 and 98% of its value and purchasing power. Yeah, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. But if you don't just figure out what the numbers are, you really don't see it. But inflation is destroying our currency. If you want to study this matter, you can look at there's a book that I would say to read, and that's called The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin. It's a pretty good book on what happened. And maybe you could watch a YouTube video or two. One of them is, if you can handle the truth, well, here it is, folks. It's about money. It's about power themes. It's about recent history and primarily the United States. So there are things you can look at to get a little alternative education, because there's lots of points of view, and it's good to look at various views. I am concerned with our nation's money and our nation's debt, because history shows us very definitely that our currency must crash right along with the entire economy because of the path we're on. It's a known path. It's so known that it's almost for certain. The only thing that's not certain is the timing of it. There are people who believe that it will be this year, but that's a pretty hard thing to predict. Still, there are indicators, and the indicators are, for instance, that there is a well-known economic magazine, The Economist. And years ago, it predicted on its cover that in 2018, that would be the year the dollar and other world currencies were all burned up. So, and then it would be replaced by a new worldwide currency. Well, there are people who see that these days. There's people who are Christian who see it, people who are spiritual Christians see it, people who are economic people see it, and they say that this is the year that there will be a big economic crisis. Now, I don't mean to predict. People have been predicting for years. You can't You can't do it, but you can see the signs. And there are a lot of well-known people who are saying that something major will happen this year. People like James Rickards, Warren Buffett, Jim Rogers, Harry Dent, and there's others like even Jacob Rothschild of France. The middle of last year, he was moving his assets in a way that anticipated a big downturn. Yeah, there's many people who are saying that 2018 will be the year that there will be some kind of a crisis, maybe a crash. So whatever happens, I just want you to know that there's a lot of people who are concerned. So examine these thoughts and these concerns. And of course, pray. Praying is so important. It will help you see things. It will help you to decide what your level of concern is or should be and what you should do about it. Look back in time. Examine when big events happened. And you can just get an idea of what to do. Now, big events, they happen, it seems like, without warning. Remember 9/11? Didn't that surprise everyone? Hey, and speaking about 9/11, do you remember how after that occurred, the churches all over America filled up? Churches everywhere had more and more attendance. People were seeking God. And now today, there's so many people who are praying for a Christian revival in America. And I wonder to myself, does it take an economic crisis to bring people into church or some kind of a disaster to bring people to church? If that's what it takes, are we going to have a crisis? I sure don't know, but when we pray for things, things do happen, just not in the timing we expect. Well, seek that relationship with God, the God of the Bible, and just dwell in it. But I think we should always be ready for some kind of a surprise. Always, things happen. There can be natural disasters. There can be earthquakes or forest fires or all sorts of things that are just very simply natural disasters. And there can be man-made disasters too. They're different. But surprises happen. A dam could break. There could be a long-term power outage. There could be an economic downturn. And like I said, there are lots of people who see a real economic crisis coming. You could even call it a depression. What would cause it? Lots of things could cause it. Well, if there was a major earthquake, if there was a volcano that went off, all these are things that can cause a crisis. There's been a lot of talk about the pension fund crises or the Social Security fund crises, where monies just are running out. Now, the timing of it all is something we just don't know. But it's something which we can all be concerned because we can see there's a pattern and that the funds are running short on money. So what will happen and when will it happen? Well, exercise your thinking and then see what you should do about it. You know, the stock market just gave a lot of people concern, and it still gives people concern. There's a whole lot of people who still see the stock market as just ready to crash any time. But there's lots of different areas that could trigger a crisis. Lots of areas. And that's the thing that just kind of gets my attention, that there are so many areas of concerns and a threat. Well, we all have them right in front of us. And there are so many that we often get desensitized to the areas of real concern. We don't see the areas that could threaten us because we're so used to them. We get comfortable with risk, and we really shouldn't. And that makes me think of Ezekiel chapter 14, God's judgments that would come upon a land that sins against God. Ezekiel chapter 14 mentions the four sword judgments of God: the sword, which is war or terrorism; famine, which is the extreme scarcity of food; the noisome beast, which is a creature or a bug which annoys a person a lot; and the pestilence, which is a fatal epidemic disease. So you see, all these things are not that far away. We're kind of involved with them today. And we can see that there is a historical pattern and a biblical pattern. It just gives us a pause to think and be concerned. Another pattern to think about is the eclipses. And we had an eclipse August 21st of 2017. You'll remember it. And there is another eclipse set to come across the United States April 7th, 2023. Together, these two eclipses form an X right across mainland United States of America. An X, it's kind of an interesting symbolism, don't you think? Can we say what it means? No, but it kind of gets your attention because you know what it might mean. And then the day after April 7th, 2023, is the first of Nisan, April 8th, which is traditionally a day on which there can be the judgment of a nation. Or it might be the last of several judgments. Like I said, there are just two different many things that are pointing in that direction. Lots of concerns. And they could lead to tremendous problems. And it's different to have a God-caused crisis than a crisis that we ourselves cause by our own choices. You see, there are crises that happen because of our own judgment, and we get the natural consequences from them. The results can be awful. Just a terrible situation in our life, and it could have nothing to do with God's judgment upon us personally or upon our nation. It's just the natural consequences of the decisions we make. So I must say that there's a difference between God's judgments and the consequences of the decisions we make. So I tell you about these concerns. They concern me because if we're aware of them, we can do something to lessen the consequences or the severity. And I don't want people to hurt, not from a big event and not from a little event. And I just think it's so interesting that people see things happening this year. There's kind of a long event window from May to the end of the year. But it's really hard to predict, and there's not a uniformity to the predictions, so I surely say use caution, but also be aware. The real question I have to ask you is, are you ready in case there is a crisis? Do you have what you need? It might be weeks of crises. It could even be years of crises. And we have weeks to get ready or years to get ready, because we don't know when it'll be. I think the big thing to remember is that we want to do something. We can see signs, or indications, I should say, indications that there will be something that comes about. And it always happens that change happens slowly until it happens fast. So, take some steps now. Just give it some thought. And how can I not think of Matthew 24, Luke 13, No, it's Matthew 24, Luke, Mark 13, or Luke 21. They all mention Jesus, who speaks and says that there will be nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famine, and pestilence. So when will these things be? Well, it seems to me we're in that season now. Earthquakes, famine, and pestilence. There have been some very interesting natural disasters going on in the world around us in these recent days and years. Last year, there were 34 volcanoes actively going off at one time. Last year, for some unknown reason, the oceans receded from their coastlines in Brazil, in Ecuador, and in India. The harbors of these countries, well, the boats in them, they sat on dry ocean floor of the harbor for between 10 and 30 hours before the ocean waters again returned. It's just, I don't know of anybody who's seen that happen before. I don't think it has happened before. So things are happening. Water in the Mississippi River for 120 miles above Memphis went so low that it disrupted the normal flow of traffic. That was also last year. In the Mississippi River, the water is disappearing very near that New Madrid fault, earthquake fault. We don't know what it really means, but how could you not think that it means something? Maybe there is a fault line that has opened up and the water is going right into the fault. We don't know what it means, but it sure is a strange thing to have happen. So while we're on that subject of earthquakes, let's talk about that book, Upheaval, by John Casey. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. I looked through that book. It's kind of hard for me to criticize it because they have so much good thinking that went into that book. But it just gives you consideration and concerns. I looked at the death tolls from earthquakes in the past, and the earthquakes that they cite can go back within 100 years, or some of them were 500 years or 1,200 years in the past. And I think for those ones, the older earthquakes, the death counts are not quite so accurate because there's different views about the death counts if you look at more modern information. But they did use information that was based on eyewitness testimonies. So probably that's my biggest criticism of the book, which isn't much. But the book is just so interesting because it really gives you pause about how serious the events that come about just might be. I found the earthquakes interesting, and in the last 100 years, I thought I would just read to you the 10 worst earthquakes that there have been. And this is going back only 100 years. And I'm going to first cite the Richter reading, and then the year, and the location, and the death count of those 10 most deadliest earthquakes in the last 100 years, going oldest to newest. And here they are. 7.8 earthquake in 1920 in Heian, China. 200,000 people died. A 7.9 earthquake in 1923 in Kanto, Japan. 142,000 people died. a 7.3 earthquake in 1948 in Ashgabat, Turkey. 110,000 people died. A 7.9 earthquake in 1970, Chimbote, Peru. 70,000 people died. A 7.5 earthquake in 1976, Tianjin, China. 242,000 people died. A 7.4 earthquake in 1990, Western Iran. 500,000 people died. A 9.1 earthquake and tsunami in 2004, Sumatra. 227,000 people died. Some say that the death count is a little higher. A 7.6 earthquake, 2005, Pakistan. 86,000 people died. A 7.9 earthquake in 2008, Sichuan, China. 87,000 people died. A 7.0 earthquake in 2010, Haiti, the region of Haiti. 316,000 people died. Now that's a lot of death from earthquakes. And again, these are the death tolls from the 10 largest earthquakes in the last 100 years. It's 1.5 million people who died from these 10 largest earthquakes. Oh boy. So it just makes me think of get ready, get prepared. So back to that book, the book Upheaval. The theme of the book is to understand the sun cycles and recognize how the sun cycles influence the Earth, and it's the earthquakes and volcanoes on Earth that happen when the sunspots become their dormant cycle. And that's going on right now. So it's been during the times of these dormant cycles that the largest volcanic eruptions on Earth have occurred. And from these large volcanoes, there has been ash put into the atmosphere, and that keeps the sun's warmth from reaching Earth. And thus we have a global cooling spell. It has also been called a mini ice age, or a minimum. And right now, we are on the very edge of a mini ice age, and that has been called, it's been named, the Eddy Minimum. So not only do volcanoes happen, but earthquakes also, large earthquakes. Interesting book. Interesting. There's a chapter in that book that talks about preparing for a great upheaval, and it talks about the consequences, the serious consequences of earthquakes and volcanoes. And it just makes me, the preparedness guy, just kind of cringe, because these things are so immensely and intensely more serious than what I have talked about or thought about in the past. But it's good to give things some thought, and then you make decisions based on what you understand. Now, in that book, here are some of the short sections that were in that chapter on being prepared for that great... call it an upheaval. It would be the loss of power for several months or longer, the lack of food and water. There was a warning that preppers would have their supplies stolen or commandeered by officials or thieves, that there would be many businesses closing down and transportation would be stopped. The military would have their preparedness and abilities tested because they would have difficulties. And for what you would do, you would want to move out of high-risk zones, that you should have a minimum of a one-year food supply and a water purification system. The author recommends firearms because there will be social turmoil. And my opinion is you have to decide that one for yourself. Now, the other thing the author recommends, which is very good, is a backup plan, because you have to just consider what if something or something else happens. And then there's things that you would want to have for backup, which would include documents and backup electricity and a security plan, a alternative income stream. And there's a section on what the government should do to prepare. Well, about preparedness, what you do or do not do is just up to you. You have to start someplace, but you might consider different ideas and different solutions, because we all have different ideas. After all, we are individuals. We have different ideas and think different. And then, after that, you do something, you do what you can. I think that no matter how you examine the problems and the solutions, you will not have everything you need to fix the problems that would come your way if there was that kind of a crisis. Especially when you don't know what the problem would be. There could be numerous problems. But you still have to remember that there are several fundamentals that you will want to have. One of them is a deep relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Another fundamental is to have a loving relationship with your family and your neighbors. And as you exercise that relationship, have intelligent and biblical compassion. And while you're at it, consider the qualities that people have of work and a good attitude of getting along. Now, I've heard people speak who have been through hard times, and they say that you need a group of people to get through it. And information is also a good idea. Books or people with knowledge are very good to have. But now a couple of similar thoughts right along this line are, as you consider God, remember to be thankful to God for all the blessings that you do have. Sometimes with a simpler life, it's easier to think about those simple things that are good, the blessings of God. Now, I've heard from those people who have had those hard times, they say that to get through these hardships, the most important thing to have as a quality of the people you're around is to have a get-along attitude. And that get-along attitude is so very much more preferred to have in a person rather than a person with good knowledge and good skills. Getting along is just so very important. So you can practice being that get-along person. Get along with everybody. Now, that doesn't mean you have to compromise who you are, and you can still not like a person and get along with him. So, and you, like I said, you don't have to compromise what your boundaries are. You just have to work at getting along. And another important basic that I've heard from the survivors of societal disasters is that you cannot go through a huge mess alone. If you live alone, they say you die alone. And that includes a couple or just a few people. They say you need to have a group that works together. A group would be 15 or so people at the minimum, and 25 is even better. They say that family is a good idea because you have a mutual basis of concern and compassion. So all these things are just something to consider. Now, whatever you're considering, remember that we all have one very basic need, and that is food. We all need food. And if you think about how the past years have gone, whenever we've needed food, we go to the grocery store and we get it. But if you don't have a grocery store, the situation is different. And a grocery store only has a total of about 4 days of food in it. And you know that when people recognize that there's some kind of a natural disaster coming, maybe a hurricane or something, that store would be completely out of food. It would be emptied in half of a day. And that's just the way people are. About last summer, I reviewed a book on Christ Today which said just that. It was this man's experience of going shopping when a hurricane was coming. And so, yeah, get your longer-term storage of food now while it is available. You have to think, you have to make a plan, and then you have to do it. You have to be considerate of whatever time, money, and storage space that you have, and make those decisions as best you can. If you are thinking about getting things that you want to trade, get things. There's two basic ideas for tradable goods. One is that they are not very expensive items. And by the way, you don't trade your food. Not unless you get some back in trade. But you don't. You want your trade items to be rather inexpensive, and you want those trade items to be something that you would use anyway. So those barter items should be relatively inexpensive, long-lasting items that are easy to store, and something that you would probably use anyway. So here's some ideas of trade goods. Instant coffee. Instant tea. Flavorings, including spices, and sugar and salt. Soap, shampoo, personal hygiene, and the basic first aid items of all sorts. Because if you ever use first aid items, they go quickly. But you can also trade them, barter them. So chapstick is good. Work gloves is good. Work boots are good. Socks, stocking caps, and functional warm clothes. All hand tools. Knives are good. And don't forget the knife sharpener. Oh, that often overlooked item. A sewing kit. So these are just different items that you can consider, you can think of. You want to be safe when you are trading. Never trade at your home. Never trade near your home. Always go to the marketplace to trade. And if your area doesn't have one, it will develop one in a crisis. You always want to go to trade in pairs or as a group. Never alone. Perhaps you can trade from group to group that are living near you, you might be trading skills for skills or skills for items. Because labor is valuable. Skills are valuable, and that includes building skills or forging skills like blacksmithing or gardening skills. Sometimes nursing information is good too. I don't know if you'd want to actually be a nurse in that situation because your concern has to be so great about spreading disease. So speaking of disease, remember that you want to wash your hands. It's very important to wash your hands. Very important. So many times intestinal diseases, including diarrhea, can lead to the death or people being disabled by those illnesses. So keep that in mind. Also, respiratory diseases or illnesses are serious problems to have also. And so as for today, one of the things that is important to consider is getting out of debt. Because if the economy has a downturn, well, money becomes unavailable. That's just the way it has always been in downturns. It's almost like it's a plan. There's a downturn, a crisis, or a depression, and the money just becomes unavailable. That's the way it's been. It's almost like a plan, like the money interests have planned to take that which you own because you don't have the money to pay. And it might be a plan. Who knows? But there's things that happen, and you can be aware of them. Now, I told you the story last year, but it's worth repeating, how 20 years ago I heard of a man tell this story. It was when he grew up with his grandparents in the Great Depression. And remember, this is when the dollar had value. So, for instance, at that time, I believe you could have bought a pair of boots for $1. Okay, so you can see the value of a dollar changed tremendously. So they all lived on a farm, and his granddaddy got a $37 loan from the bank to buy seed and some other items. So they got that loan, they had it, and their neighbors did not have any loans on their property. But then the Depression came along, and his granddaddy lost their farm, and their neighbor did not. So that story struck me as what can happen. You want to get out of debt, because when and if hard time comes, you don't know how hard the times will be, and you don't know how long they will last. Now here's a story that happened to my dad. And it's a true story. And it happened not too far before that Great Depression. So my dad got talked into buying 100 shares of bank stocks. And this was back in about 1927, just before the Great Depression came. And then the Depression came, and the stock lost value. It just went way, way down in value. But he just couldn't bring himself to sell that stock for less than he paid for it. So, finally, in 1952, the stock reached the same break-even point. So, he sold it for what he bought it for in 1952. Okay? So that's a story of what happens when you do have a depression. Recovery happens slowly. It was 1927 to 1952 before he got his break-even money point back. So keep that in mind. We think about depressions, but we don't realize how long-lasting and severe they are. And by the way, that stock was the Bank of Italy. and it turned into the Bank of America. So all these things are interesting, but just remember, financial surprises can happen. So get out of debt. That's the thing. A lot of surprises can happen. We don't know what they will be. They're financial surprises, they're weather surprises, they're all sorts of things that just happen. I know, how can I not remember that 2008 Congressional Task Force report? It was done for Congress by Dr. Peter Pry. And it talked about between 60 and 90% of the U.S. population would die if there was no electricity for 1 year. The report actually says 60 to 90%, and I've heard people review the report and they say 90%, but it's really 60 to 90%. But my point is, it's a serious, serious situation, and there are real possibilities of things happening that would cause our electrical grid to go down. There could be a CME or an EMP. The CME is a coronal mass ejection from our sun. The EMP is the electromagnetic pulse from a nuclear weapon. Sure, they're remote, but they are also real possibilities. Yeah. Last week I said something on the program, the broadcast, about how there was the 1938 flood in China, and I said that the Chinese government was afraid of a Chinese invasion. I should have said the Chinese government was afraid of a Japanese invasion. There was a little mistake there. So just recognize that. And so they flooded their land. As a result of that flood, they let the Yellow River, the dikes open up that held the Yellow River back. And that caused 800,000 people to die. Wow. Things happen. Things happen. You know, there's always things that you can be aware of. You never know that once change starts, you never know how big the change will be or where it will stop. So just remember to be aware. Be aware of what's going on. Think of the what-ifs. We don't know what will happen in 2018. There's a lot of people who think that there will be a serious event happening. And while we don't know, we can listen to people who think that. The power elite have been suggesting it, and so have a whole lot of other financial people. So I want you to look and be considerate. Don't be caught unaware. Just consider things and prepare. Look under the surface at the underlying situations, spiritually and physically. Think, plan, and do. Remember, I'm always glad to send you my preparedness pamphlet. Send me a stamped, self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California 95927. And remember, you can listen to past broadcasts or this one on www.christtoday.org. All lowercase, no spaces. And thank you for listening. And until next week, may you walk with God and may God walk with you.